And welcome back to EAA Radio 1210 AM, 96.5 FM, and on the web at eaaradio.net. We are sitting here continuing with Austin Meyer of X-Plane. And we just wanted to reiterate, we got a user write in here that says X-Plane is FAA certified. Yes, that is absolutely...
With the proper pieces of equipment around
it, one element of the package.
Correct. When the FAA certifies a flight simulator, they certify the entire simulator, including the joystick, the yokes, and having an instructor there as well.
Always.
So it's a complete system with an instructor. X-Plane has been used as the software package for many FAA-certified flight simulators. So when you get X-Plane for $60 and run it at home, well, your home computer has not been certified by the FAA as a flight simulator, so you're not logging the time, but you have the same software, so you're going to get the same level of realism in the flight simulation.
And yeah. It's certified in 141 schools, you know, for the 141 schools to do training of the PC trainers, or...?
I'm not sure about all of the exact parts because that's typically handled by the people that buy X-Plane from me and then get the certification with their entire simulator that they build. So I'm not sure of all of those details, but we're used with ours towards instrument training, and we're used by flight schools. Precision Flight Controls builds a lot of simulators that have FAA certification.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about that because I was involved very early on with the decisions to allow PCATDs to exist. And the thing with a PCATD
as opposed to is EFTD.
The paperwork that's involved, and those have got to be done properly. Software has to be the right kind, hardware has to be the right kind, and the paperwork coming from the FISDO has to be right, and then yes, it can be used in a Part 61 or a Part 141 program in order to do a certain amount of the training. But as Austin reiterated, the instructor is part of that package.
That's right.
And therefore, you can't just sit down at your
PC it in your computer and get
and
your
log time. However, that being said, I can tell you right now that my instrument students are way better for having spent time working with me on the PC with even the non-certified situation.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can take time to learn how to do the procedure
and hone the
before
skills
before we go out and actually fly the procedure in the airplane. They're much, much better at it after that. Austin, I want to talk to you about something else that you're doing these days. There's a company called Vertical Power out there, and you have started working with them on some interesting software that helps an airplane find the runway. You want to talk to me about that?
Yeah, I find this project absolutely fascinating. We call it the Vertical Power VP400 with a Runway Seeker. And here's what it is. This is a small computer that lives inside an experimental airplane, not yet a certified airplane.
So this is not a sim project.
It's not a sim. This goes in the
real
airplane. And it has its own GPS, altitude heading reference system, all solid state, and electrical system, including its own battery. And so it's a completely independent system that knows exactly where the airplane is and what direction it's pointing. And you think, well, where's the airplane and what's it pointing? That's something, but what do you do with it? And what we do with it, I think, is pretty amazing. We have an elevation map for all of the ground everywhere in the world and an airport database showing all of the airports in the world. And so it actually draws a synthetic image of the world on the display, sort of like you would see in a flight simulator. In other words, it's just like the Garmin 1000, for example, synthetic vision. You can see where you're going. And it has airspeed and altitude tapes as well, so you can see your altitude and airspeed. In other words, it's a perfect backup synthetic vision display so you can see where you are. But once I built this synthetic vision backup display that you can continue to fly the airplane after all the other equipment or instruments in the airplane have failed, I asked, well, how far can we go with this? What can we do? And what I did is I put a tiny little miniature flight simulator inside of this unit. And this little flight simulator is constantly imagining, what if my engine quits right now? What would I do? And it sets a little simulated glide from your aircraft's current location down to some nearby airport within gliding range. It picks a runway, a direction on the runway, a traffic pattern direction to that runway, an extension of the final or extension of the downwind. And what it does is it builds an approach that is just the right path length, that if you come down On that approach, the energy will be perfectly dissipated from your current altitude down to the runway altitude at the moment you arrive at that runway. We all remember Bob Hoover's energy management routine, right? He'd go up at 8,000 feet, cut the engines, and eventually he'd wind up right in front of you at a stop. How did he do it? Well, he came up with an air show that involved him going through just the right amount of sky to bleed off all of the energy that he had when he first shut down his engines. This, Bob Hoover probably took longer than a 30th of a second to do his planning for the show, but computers are a little different than people. They're not as smart, but they're a lot faster. And so this actually plans an approach like that in a 30th of a second. And so as you're flying along, it's planning an approach to every possible runway within gliding range. And for each of these approaches, it comes up with a score that indicates how likely you are to be able to make a successful power-off landing at that airport. And that score is based on how long the runway is, how wide the runway is, how much of a headwind it has, or hopefully not how much of a crosswind it has, how flat it is based on the elevation maps, and whether it's within gliding distance of the airplane. And whichever runway and approach has the highest score, it says that's your best scenario for a power-off landing. I'm going to plot a little approach from the nose of the airplane down to the runway on your moving map. And so imagine you're flying along with the moving map. You know, a catfish. I imagine a catfish swimming along the bottom of the creek with his little whiskers reaching out to find little tidbits to eat on the bottom of the creek. Well, we become like a little catfish now. As you're flying across the sky with the VP-400, you see a little whisker popping out of the nose of your airplane and searching out and spiraling down to some airport within gliding range. And it's not always the closest airport, and it is not a straight line to the airport. It's whatever airport has the longest, widest runway within gliding range that's most likely to be a successful power-off approach, and the line circles and curves around so that if you follow it, you'll just dissipate your energy just right to arrive over the threshold, looking at the numbers on a 3-degree glide path at the approach speed of the airplane.
So
it's basically doing Bob Hoover's energy management routine 30 times a second.
Is it continuously
Continuously updating. The answer is yes, it's continuously updating.
It's like Anywhere Maps green circle little safety zone combined with the nearest button on your GPS and all of it on steroids.
On big time steroids. Because it doesn't always take the nearest airport. It takes the best airport. And if you're flying along at high altitude, it may be that another airport is slightly farther away, but has a much longer, wider runway pointed into the wind and is also flatter. And if it's still within gliding range, it'll take it. Basically, as pilots, what we're trained to do is say if the engine quits, go for best glide speed and go for the closest airport. Well, what that really is an absolute evidence of complete lack of planning. When they would fly the space shuttle, they would do their deorbit burn over Japan. Now, when they would do a deorbit burn in the space shuttle, which is a glider, they've had an engine failure, right? They're out of gas. They're in a fuel exhaustion scenario. Would they say, let's do the deorbit burn over Hawaii or over Japan, but let's go to best glide speed and see what we can work out?
Yeah.
No. They had a planned energy corridor to take them all the way to Florida. And that planned energy corridor was not done at best glide. It was done halfway between best glide and worst glide. In other words, that corridor would come down at halfway between the best the space shuttle could glide and the worst it can glide. And by staying right in the middle, they can pop their speed brake out on their tail or do some S-turns to stay right in the middle of their corridor. See, even if the winds in the upper atmosphere or the handling of the space shuttle wind up to be a bit different than planned, they could always make it just by deploying the speed brake a little more or a little less, by S-turning a little more or a little less. Well, this does exactly the same thing. It's constantly planning an approach down to the runway. It only takes a 30th of a second to do it, thanks to the speed of computers, and this approach is not done at best glide speed. It's done at nominal glide speed. So the moment you hit the button, when you're panicked and you hit the button and you want the airplane to come down, it's going to follow down on this nominal glide path. And if their winds are worse than planned, or the thermals are worse than planned, or your airplane isn't doing very well because it's been batted all about with geese or something like that that have damaged the airplane, or maybe a landing gear leg is hanging down, you're still going to make the airport because the airplane will simply retract the flaps and go for best glide speed a little bit more to make up for the fact that things aren't going as well as planned. Because it doesn't come in at best glide, it comes in with nominal glide, which leaves a lot of room for error.
the airplane will do these things by itself. So tell me a little bit more about the VP interface on this.
Okay, so the VP400 lives in the airplane, and as you're flying along, you always see the little catfish whisker going out of your nose to the best possible airport to land on. And if you ever hit the button, and we've done this many times in an RV7 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, it's a red button. You've often wondered maybe what would a red button look like where the airplane brings itself down to the nearest runway in the event the engine fails or the pilot becomes incapacitated. And I'm here to tell you it's kind of about a half an inch across, and it's kind of cherry red colored, and it says Runway Seeker on it. But anyway, so you hit this button, and the airplane will actually follow hoops. It actually draws hoops like a highway in the sky on that synthetic vision display. So you see the path on the map that you should follow, and you see the hoops coming down that you just can visually fly through on your three-dimensional PFD, or primary flight display, and it hooks up to the autopilot and the flaps, and you actually see the flaps kind of going boop, boop, kind of motoring in and out just a little bit to hold just the right amount of drag. Let's say you wanted to come down a hill in a car, and let's say the hill was steep enough that you could come down the hill at 80, but you want to come down the hill at 50. What do? You ride the brakes a little more coming down the hill to hold 50 miles an hour. Now, let's say the car has flat tires, or the hill isn't as steep as you thought, or there's a headwind, or there's gravel on the road, all things that can go wrong. You can still hold 50 miles an hour. Just ride the brakes a little less. Or if you have a tailwind, you can still hold 50 miles an hour. Just ride the brakes a little more. What I'm saying is, even without engine power, you can still adhere to a plan. Right. If the plan is pessimistic. And we do exactly the same thing here, except the flaps are our brakes. And this is what lets the computer make a plan and follow it, even in the real world where nothing goes as planned. It's exactly what they did to land the space shuttle. It's exactly what Bob Hoover does whenever he does his energy management routine. They have a plan, they follow it, and they've got a buffer built in. The computer does the same thing.
It's a perfect scenario because it gives the pilot or the equipment the constraints and the parameters that they can work within, and then the flexibility to move about in that space as needed.
Exactly. And you need to be able to move about in any space in aviation because no airplane has ever flown exactly the same way twice.
Well, what happens if there isn't an airport within gliding range and you have that power failure?
Then what it does is it takes a nice gentle standard rate turn. So there's no stall or anything like that. A standard rate turn at best glide speed towards the nearest airport. Will that necessarily get you to the airport? No. But two incredibly important things happen here. You're going towards the airport at best glide speed. You're not stalling or spinning. And the airplane is doing this for you. This gives you all the time in the world
to make a plan.
Well, and also to realize that you forgot to switch fuel tanks 30 minutes ago.
To actually do the emergency.
Right. To do your checks,
to
have a
all
calm
the time
mind.
In the world.
I was
say,
pretty sure
you
were just getting to that.
Right, exactly. It's like, well, my airplane is doing something halfway intelligent right now. Maybe I do have time to see if I should switch fuel tanks or turn on a fuel pump
or
try the other magneto.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is you're going to do. It gives you all the time in the world to brief to plan for the emergency. It gives you all the time in the world to call 121.5, to squawk 7700, to look up the pilot control lighting frequency on the nearest airport so you can see the runway and you get there if it's night. And ultimately, it also lets you say, I can't make it to the airport. Let's say the engine quits so that bits of cylinders have flown out through the cowling and oil's all over the windshield. You're not getting this engine back. If you're not getting the engine back and you see that you can't make an airport, and the VP400 will tell you if you can make it or not, it's a clear red and white hashed barber pole pointed to the nearest airport. It's clearly not an approach path. Then you can realize that it's time to go for a field. To say, you know what, I can't make it to the airport. We got to go for this field or road. And that lets you make the next best decision to an on-airport landing.
And very quickly, because we're just about out of time, we want to let people know where they can find you. You're here, and all of this can be tried and tested and
tried
looked at
on
yourself.
The field. Hangar Bravo. Yeah, go to the X-Plane booth at Hangar Bravo, and you can fly this VP400 in an X-Plane simulator. You can try everything I've just said for yourself.
And on the web?
Xplane.com, and it's X-PLANE.com.
Fantastic. Austin Meyer, Xplane, and VP400 software creator.
Great.
Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.